Here and now from WFPL News. After months of mounting allegations, a hearing on the ethics charges against Louisville Metro Councilwoman Judy Green is underway right now. Green faces charges of wrongdoing, unethical behavior, and financial mismanagement in two separate complaints that stem from an audit and police investigation, which raised serious questions about her conduct on the council. WFPL's political editor Philip Bailey has been covering this story from the very beginning, and he's at the hearing now at Metro Hall. Good afternoon, Philip.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. And what has happened so far today?
Well, thus far, the first thing that the Ethics Commission did was it moved to have the second complaint against Councilman Green filed by Mr. Ed Springsteen. That complaint deals with the allegation that the councilwoman rerouted funds through a nonprofit organization, broke council rules by doing that to other organizations. That hearing will be rescheduled to May 23rd. The first complaint, though, has been commencing in this hearing. That was filed by Ray Barker Sr., a former political opponent of the councilwoman, and that deals specifically with the issues of the Green Clean Team, the summer jobs program that the councilwoman procured money for. Councilwoman Green has been testifying all this morning. She just got off the stand. Currently, Nina Williams, a West Louisville resident whose son participated in the program, is testifying.
Now, just for a moment here to get to this second complaint, this has been moved for what particular reason?
Well, the investigative officer, Attorney James Earhart, said that there were some circumstances involving more investigation needed to be conducted.
Okay.
Also, Green's attorney, Mr. Kent Wicker, said that there still hadn't been a 10-day response time for the second complaint, which was filed a few weeks after Ray Barker had filed his initial complaint. So that will be rescheduled in for May because of that reason. It's really just a scheduling issue and getting all the paperwork together, just like they got all the investigative nature for the first complaint.
Okay, so now, sorry to interrupt you, but to come back to this first complaint again, this having to do with the Green Clean Team and also with this issue now of nepotism, not only where money went, but also who was getting the money. What's happened so far on that today?
Well, what's been revealed, Mr. Earhart has really grilled Councilman Green on a lot of questions, particularly the allegations that some of her family members were paid as a result of the program. One thing that was revealed was the poor bookkeeping that went on. Mr. Earhart asked Councilman Green if she was paid by the Life Institute $4,900. She said she was. She said that was based on a loan because the grant had not come through yet, so she gave the Life Institute some money to pay for parts of the program. Unfortunately, Councilman Green says that she doesn't have a receipt to prove that. That was paid in cash, which was sort of odd to members of the Ethics Commission. They got to ask Councilman Green some questions as well, and their question centered on why wasn't there a receipt kept for that cash. Councilman Green simply said that she couldn't get her hands on that receipt, that she has many papers and books and bags, and that she just lost track of it.
And is this in line with what the defense is arguing overall for these charges that have been laid against her, that some of this was just too difficult to keep track of?
Well, the defense is making the argument that Councilwoman Green is a great community advocate, that she's helped at-risk youth, that she's adopted a number of children over her life. She's adopted and fostered over 11 children since 1987. They're really pointing out that her work with the Green Clean Team did not violate the ethics ordinance, that she did not administer the program herself. Mr. Earhart, however, has pointed out and asked in several questions that Councilman Green did appoint her husband to supervise the supervisors of the program. At one point, Mr. Earhart asked Councilman Green who gave her the authority to appoint someone to run the program. She said that no one did, that she, in fact, just did that on her own. And looking in hindsight, she should have gotten an opinion from the Ethics Commission before going forward with the program.
What is the commission expected to do today on this? Will they issue a ruling, or might they delay on this particular complaint too?
Well, the Ethics Commission has carved out two days for this hearing, today and tomorrow. A number of witnesses are on a list. Each side has about 10 witnesses. We're only on the second witness, and we're already in the afternoon.
And they are going to let all the witnesses go through today?
Well, that's unlikely. Some have argued, and Mr. Earhart has said that some of Councilman Green's witnesses are irrelevant to the case. These are character witnesses mainly, people who would just simply repeat what the defense has already outlined, that she is a great community advocate, her work on the council, her work with young people in District 1. So we may see some of those witnesses get cut. But overall, it seems that the process is moving as quickly as it can, but there are plenty of questions to ask both Councilman Green and members of the program, parents who children were in the program, and Dr. Eddie Woods. founder of the Life Institute, which was supposed to administer the green clean team.
Are there council members who are in the hearing today? Not taking part, I mean, but just attending and watching?
Yes, it's a who's list up here in Metro Hall right now. Council President Jim King is in attendance. Councilwoman Tina Ward-Pugh, who's the head of the Government Accountability and Ethics Committee, she's also in attendance. Democratic Caucus spokesperson Tony Hyatt is in attendance. Because it's in the mayor's gallery, members of the mayor's office and staff have been in and out. There are members of both parties. There's a Republican representative for the Republicans on the Metro Council. So certainly, and there are plenty of people who are also here in support of Councilman Green as well. I think that should be pointed out.
Would the council member's presence be considered a kind of show of support for her, whether coming from the Democratic caucus or in the entire council?
At this point, no one is saying whether they support or against. I think the council members will say that they are in attendance simply to observe the situation. Council members have been pretty reticent in regards to commenting on Councilman Green's ongoing troubles. At this point, I think that they are just simply here to observe. They have not commented one way or the other.
Sure. Now, there is a possibility in this case that she could be found to have violated ethics laws. But the way I understand it, there are two different ways you can look at that. If this happens, this is just speculating. I'm not saying she has been, of course. But it could be an unintentional instance or intentional ethics violations. Can you tell me the difference between the two? We have about a minute and a half left.
Sure. The two tracks are pretty simple. The unintentional violation could result in just a letter of censure or an unintentional violation and nothing happens really at all. The intentional violations, however, represent a number of consequences, from a letter of censure to a fine for probably each ethics violation itself, to a letter of recommendation on our public record, or a recommendation that she be removed from office. Now, that would require the council to make those steps after the ethics hearing is concluded. This will probably take another 20 days after the hearing concludes for the hearing officer to make their findings, to make a recommendation to the Ethics Commission, and then the seven members will vote on whether it's an intentional or unintentional violation.
Is there any indication at all that members of the council might move to take some action against her before all of this takes place?
Well, that's unlikely the council will take any action before the Ethics Commission makes a decision, but there is a possibility that the council could still move on Councilman Green after the Ethics Commission concludes, no matter what they conclude. This pertains to the second complaint. Because the Councilman Green has been accused of circumventing or breaking council rules by rerouting money to another nonprofit that wasn't listed in the initial application, council members could take up this issue on their own and vote to remove her from office.
And, of course, there's this other piece that we don't even have time to get to today, but maybe we'll get to tomorrow on State of the News, which is how all this money is administered and watched over, if at all.
Yes, certainly this has broken open a larger conversation than just Councilman Green. Certainly both sides, both Republicans and Democrats on the council, have been discussing creating better oversight for discretionary funding. Some council Republicans, mainly Councilman Jerry Miller, a Republican from the 19th District, has suggested that the mayor cut discretionary spending to sort of add more credibility for the public, but certainly has paid more attention to how the council spends these extra funds.
All right. Philip, thank you very much.
No problem.
Philip Bailey at Metro Hall covering the situation today.